Well, I'm going to start our sermon time out this morning with a little project for you all to do, something that'll help us celebrate our mothers. And we'll do that project, and then I have a short Mother's Day-related sermon for you. When I say this project is going to help us celebrate our mothers, I actually don't mean celebrating the mothers in the room here with us today. What I'm meaning is celebrating our mothers. Each of us, we all have or had mothers, and even if your own mother was not present in your life, for some reason, I would guess that you likely maybe had a person who performed in a mothering type role for you to some extent, and so you could be thinking about that person as we do this project. Of course, this doesn't mean that I don't want to celebrate the mothers in the room. Of course, I do. We want to acknowledge you today. So all you mothers who are here, specifically at the beginning here, those who are mothering right now with young kids, you have a very difficult and important task. And boy, you're raising and training a human being. I mean, that it doesn't get a whole lot more important than that. And though there are many joyful moments that come from motherhood, we know it can also be a draining, emotional, and at times seemingly never-ending experience. And so much of what you do is behind the scenes and repetitive. And you get to do it whether or not you are feeling well that day or whether you had sleep that night. So, hey, we know it's not an easy gig. And then throw on top of that the last couple of years, right? And pandemic lockdowns and school shutdowns, stress has been high all around, but I think especially for mothers. And then you might have additional complicating aspects to your situation. You may be a single mom, and I can tell you, as someone who is currently part of a two-parent, two-kid household and knows how difficult that can be at times, I honestly don't know how you do it. So, can I encourage you just a little bit today, moms? What you do is invaluable work. It's so important. And though you don't often get recognition for the behind-the-scenes activities that you do, we just want to say that we appreciate you today and all that you do for your kids, for your families. Well done. Well done. And moms who have kids who have grown and flown the coop, we celebrate you today and recognize all your hard work in years past, too. So well done to you as well. Okay, so on to this project. Bible teaches us to be people of gratitude, and Mother's Day is a great day to practice this command, to be grateful people. I have provided for you in the chairs there slips of paper. There should be one nearby that you could grab. Also a pen in the chair back in front of you. And I'm going to ask you in a moment to think up and write down two things that you are thankful to your mother for. Two things about your mom, or again, the person who acted in a mothering role for you in your life that you're grateful for, or two things that she did that you're grateful for. Now, a couple things to say here, just because while many of us won't find this difficult, some of us in this room will find this project a little difficult. Perhaps you have not had a great relationship with your mother. Maybe there was way more bad than good. That will be true for some of you. And first off, my heart hurts for you. Should not have been that way for you. And I'm sorry that it was. But I would think that unless it was a really extreme situation, even you should be able to come up with two things, right, that you're grateful to her for. We've spoken here in the past many times of the biblical ethic of continuing to believe in people even when they have exhibited poor behaviors. So we're asked by God to some extent anyway to look past those behaviors and see who God intended that person to be, who God would still like to move that person to be. And that's what we should want for everyone, right? God's best for them. This is part of loving our neighbors as ourselves. This is behind the command to love your enemy and so forth. We try to believe in people and look for the good. Doesn't mean that you just simply accept bad behavior. That behavior may need to be confronted, if at all possible, in love. You may even need to put up boundaries for your health, but none of that removes us from the responsibility to continue to hope for the best for that person and to look for the good. I've used this next illustration before, but I'll do it again. Have you ever noticed how hypercritical people can be when they go sit down in a dine-in restaurant and they're being served? I hear people. The server can do nothing right, right? The food is cold, whatever. Complain, complain, complain. People get so demanding in restaurants and sometimes just mean. So hey, Christ followers, salt and light people, let's be the person in the restaurant who sees and points out the good. Now, if they give you cold food, you can still ask for it to be reheated, but there's a Christ-like way to do that and a non-Christ-like way to do that, right? We want to be gracious people, positive people, grateful people, and that's the idea behind our project today, even if you had a difficult childhood with your mom. Be positive and grateful. All right, so back into the instructions now. I'll ask us to write the two things that we're grateful for down on the paper, and then for those for whom this is possible, I'll also ask you to try to communicate those two things to your mother somehow, maybe today, preferably today, I guess. Obviously, it's not a required step. I can't require you to do anything. So you know your situation, I don't, and maybe this doesn't fit, but I think it could be a good thing for all of us to do. Now, if your mother has passed away, or maybe you don't know where your mom is, you are the reason I have the cross up here today. If you're willing, when the time comes, you can bring your filled-out slip of paper up to the cross and tape your two thoughts to it. Maybe say a little prayer to thank God for those two things that you are grateful for about your mom. Perhaps ask him to relay a message to her. I am not entirely sure how all that works, but when we don't understand, we can bring the issue to God, right? So that's what I'll have you do if you're in that situation today and you're willing. Okay, so let's take a minute or two now and write two things about your mom or the person who acted in a mothering role in your life that you're grateful for, or things she did. And then if you are one of these people who's going to use the cross, just come up when you're ready. We'll wait for you to tape that on there. And the rest of you, take those slips of paper home and think today about how you might express those things to your mother. Let's celebrate our mothers today. We'll just take a couple minutes in silence here. Great. Thanks for doing that with me. We'll move into my short Mother's Day related sermon now. And I'm going to start this out with a couple of sentences that came in an email to me this past week from an organization called Preaching Today. The email began this way, and I'm just going to read the opening couple of lines for you. It said, "Mother's Day can be complicated. In many churches, there's subtle yet visceral tension between celebration and sorrow. For many, it's a day of joy and family time, but for some, it's a day of pain, longing, and grief. Some women are yearning to have a child. Some had painfully neglectful mothers. Some are heartbroken over a wayward teen, and we could add a good number of scenarios to their list, I think. So, yeah, Mother's Day, it's a complicated thing. It can be a bit challenging for pastors. But reflecting on the complicated nature of Mother's Day this past week brought a few thoughts to my mind that I'd like to share with you now. Let me tell you about some women. There was a woman whose name was Sarah, married to a guy named Abraham. Sarah longed to have a child, but she was unable to, and as the years passed, she eventually gave up on that dream. But then, at age 90, by the hand of God, she and Abraham became pregnant. And Sarah's descendants then, as Scripture says, went on to become too numerous to count, and the whole world was blessed through the descendants of Sarah and Abraham. There was a There was a woman named Jochebed who had a baby boy at the exact wrong time. Shortly after her baby Moses was born, an order came from the Egyptian Pharaoh that every male Hebrew child living in Egypt, where Jochebed was living, was to be killed. And can you imagine the grief in her heart as Jochebed, in an effort to save the baby, hid him in a basket and reeds along the river and left him? Pharaoh's daughter ends up discovering the boy, if you know the story, takes him in, and unknowingly later hires the boy's actual mother, Jochebed, to be his nursemaid. A woman named Deborah was married, but if she had children, the Bible says nothing about them. What the Bible does say about Deborah is that at a time when Israel had wandered away from the Lord and was also being oppressed terribly by a Canaanite king, Deborah arose as Israel's leader. God spoke through her. She was called a prophetess. And Judges 4, verse 5 says that she held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. Deborah later came up with a battle plan to eliminate the Canaanite army that was causing them so many problems. And she helped successfully execute that plan. This was Deborah. Naomi had been a wife and a mother until her husband and both her adult sons all died suddenly, leaving her alone. In grief, she moved forward. And though God never gave Naomi another husband or son, he did eventually provide for her in other ways, and her heart became full again. When Joseph and Mary brought their new baby to Jerusalem, to the temple for the ceremony of purification, they met there an old woman named Anna. It's likely that Anna had never been a mother. Luke chapter 2 tells us that she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then was a widow until she was 84, and she never left the temple, it says, but she worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. This Anna was one of the very few individuals who had been told by God who that little baby in Mary's arms actually was, one of the very few individuals who had been able to celebrate Jesus' arrival face to face. Mary Magdalene had a rough past, and there's no mention of her ever having been a mother. When Jesus met her, she had 7 demons residing in her that he had to cast out. She may have also been a prostitute at some point prior. But from the day that she met Jesus, Mary Magdalene was given a new story by God, similar to some things our video pastor was saying last Sunday, right? And she became one of Jesus' most faithful followers and supporters, and she worked to provide for him. Mary Magdalene became so prominent in Jesus' life that she was the first person the resurrected Jesus appeared to. And then there was the most famous Mary, who had given birth to that extra special son. And I would imagine she must have had many moments of joy and pride because of him. But Mary also had to stand by powerless as so many people rejected him and directed their hate at him. No parent ever wants to die after their child dies. But Mary ended up in a crowd one day watching as her son was murdered on a cross. Great joy and great pain. So 7 life stories there, and let's think about the circumstances those ladies experienced. So there's Sarah living all the way into old age, unable to fulfill her dream of having a baby. Jochebed had a baby, but had to give him away in order to save him. Heartbreaking. Deborah may have been childless. Naomi had 2 sons, but they died in young adulthood. Anna was probably childless. Mary Magdalene was likely childless. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, was the mother of Jesus, which was an incredible blessing that came with an incredible cost. When we read about these women in the Bible, I think it's clear that what was important in the stories of their lives was not whether they were mothers or not. What was held out as important in their stories was whether or not they followed God with their hearts and with their actions. Deborah may not have had children. Maybe she did, but the Bible doesn't tell her story because of the kids she had or didn't have. It tells her story because of her true heart for the Lord and her willingness to be used by him in very unusual ways for an Old Testament era female. Anna likely didn't have children, so she used her time in the worship and service of God, and God rewarded her for that at the end of her life, allowing her to meet the newborn Messiah. The most important thing in the life of Mary Magdalene wasn't if she had had children or not. It wasn't even that her life had crashed and burned and she'd been a total mess. The most important thing in the life of Mary Magdalene was that when she met Jesus, she turned it all around and made following him her number one priority. On this Mother's Day, ladies, I want to ask what the most important thing is about you. Is it if you are a mother or not? No. Let me tell you what the Bible says is the most important. He's shown you, O mortal, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. When Jesus was teaching one day, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." And he replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." So, is a woman measured by whether or not she is a mother to a good child? No, said Jesus there. She's measured by if she is obedient to the word of God. This is what is of most importance. First and foremost, Christ-following women of Calvary, what gives you importance is being a daughter of the Most High God. Now, parenthood is, no question, a very special privilege, but not everybody on the earth will become a parent. It just doesn't work like that, and we ought to be sensitive to that every Mother's Day and Father's Day. However, not becoming a parent in no way makes an individual any less important or less valuable of a person. And, you know, realize this too. Although parenthood is a special privilege that can lead to fulfillment and joy, it also is a privilege that, as we have commented on already this morning, is intensely time-consuming, full of stress, and can open our hearts to terrible pain as well as to great joy. If you don't have children at home, think of how much more time you have in your life to dedicate to other pursuits. Think of how much more time you have in your life to dedicate to working for the growth and the good of God's kingdom. Are you using your time in wise ways? So yeah, women and men. Again, your worth is not determined by parenthood. It comes from being a daughter or a son of the Most High God. You'll be measured by your heart and by the extent you strive to perform well the tasks that God has brought to you. Have you heard the phrase, bloom where you're planted? Bloom where you're planted. I think that's it. No matter what circumstances you're in, are you being a disciple of his? In those circumstances, using your wits and your resources at this time to live as his obedient disciple, are you blooming for him in your current life situation? So, yeah. Are you single? Great. Use your time to be a great follower of Jesus. Are you married and unable to have children? Pray about that. Cry out to the Lord. And then continue to strive to be a great follower of Jesus in your present circumstances. Do you have kids at home that you're raising? Strive to be a great Jesus follower as you raise them. And remember, one of the tasks of being a disciple is evangelism, and there is no greater opportunity to show someone Jesus than a mother or a father has with the children they are raising. Your efforts may not work. Not even Jesus could get everybody to believe in him, right? But what a tremendous opportunity you have. So be a Jesus follower in your present circumstance. The call is the same no matter what. Maybe you were once happy with your life circumstances, but great loss has come to you now. Open your heart to God, show him your tears, and then continue to strive to be a faithful follower of Christ. Maybe you've totally screwed up your life up to this point. Commit yourself now to the Lord and step by step become a great Jesus follower. Now, I know that in some of these scenarios that we're talking about here, what I'm saying is easier said than done. I'm not trying to minimize anyone's pain. Grief from loss can be almost unbearable at times, and maybe the best you can do is just hang on. And, you know, if you're single and want to be married, hey, I wasn't married until I was 34. I feel ya. That was not easy for me. It really wasn't. And although my words here are easier said than done, I'm convicted that they're the right words. Following God is what was important in the stories of all the women from the Bible we looked at today, regardless of their circumstances, and following God is what is the most important thing in your life story. Each of us has a vital role to play in the kingdom of God right now, if we'll accept it and pursue it. You are important. God can change circumstances. He can, all of a sudden, out of the blue. Remember, Sarah was barren until old age and then became pregnant at age 90. Was this a blessing or a curse? But she had given up hope. And then all of a sudden, there it is. Circumstance changed. Naomi went home from Moab a broken and lost woman, but by the end of the book of Ruth, she was surrounded by family. Now, it was a different kind of family than what she had once had, but her heart was full again nonetheless. God can change circumstances. So talk to him about the desires of your hearts. But then, you know, then we need to submit our desires over to him and walk faithfully where he leads. So yeah, I don't know if God will change your circumstances or not, but there are some promises that I know God will do for you if you follow him in your life. I'll give you just one of them here. It goes like this. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is a promise we can all hang on to. We may have trouble in this life, but even in the midst of the trouble, if we belong to Jesus, we should all along the way be able to see love and goodness present. And God will eventually bring us home, into his home, where everything is made right. This is a promise to Christ followers we can count on. So yeah, you may be someone who has trouble coming to church on Mother's Day because of pain in your past or in your present. Or perhaps motherhood is not an issue for you, but one of these other scenarios that we've talked about today is, speaking of women or men now, do you feel like you got a little ripped off in life? Life gave you a bum set of circumstances? Well, if that's you, you're not alone. And you need to look no further than the pages of the Bible to see that you are not alone. The people described to us in the Bible lived all kinds of different lives, experienced vastly different circumstances. Let me sneak in just one last example. Let's say being single is your issue, your heartache. Well, there's the example of a man we are about to begin studying in our sermon series on Acts, the Apostle Paul. Paul was never married, was never a parent, but was Paul unimportant in the eyes of his maker? Or in the history of the world, for that matter? No, he was not. There was another single, childless male figure in the New Testament, too. You may have heard of him before. He went by the name Jesus. So, circumstances vary, but what is important in life, Calvary, whether you're a man or a woman, a mother or a father, parent or without children, married or single, from a privileged background or an underprivileged background, white skin, black skin, whatever, what is important is if you have become rightly related to God through Jesus Christ and if you are seeking him with all your heart. Amen. He's shown you, O mortal, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and who obey it. May the Lord go with each of us in the present circumstances of our lives.